Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you for today. We pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Use me as an instrument of your will to encourage those who need you to know you and those who know you to grow in you, that we may help somebody else come to know you. We thank you for the call and the challenge to make the main thing the only thing. And we pray now that you will honor your word as it goes forth. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I don't know if you realize it or not, but we live in a world that celebrates individualism. So much so that there are catchphrases that have become commandments in our society. Let me just give you a couple of them. I don't follow the crowd. Stand out, don't blend in. Stay your own way. I answer to no one but myself. Free to be me. I make my own lane. Follow your truth. Be self-made. And maybe the most popular one, you do you. Which implies that I'm gonna do me and you do you, and never shall the roads meet. We are constantly told to be independent, to rely on no one, to carry our burdens in silence, and to ask no one for help, because if you do, it is the admission of your own humanity, your own frailty, and you are seen as being weak. But here's the truth for us today. That is not the kingdom way. The culture of the world is not the culture of the body of Christ. From the beginning of time, God declared it is not good for man to be alone. And he wasn't talking just in terms of marriage. He was talking in terms of life. That we are never to be alone. That there is no such thing in the Bible as a solo saint or a disenfranchised disciple. We are always to be connected with one another. We are always to be in community with one another. But here's the problem. Many of us have unknowingly and unwittingly brought the mindset of isolation into our spiritual lives. So here's how that looks. We come to church, but we stay disconnected. We smile, but we never share our struggles. We worship in a crowd, but we walk through life like we're on an island. And so today, I want to challenge those of you who are living that independent life and encourage those of you who have found strength in community. I want to talk today from the thought, the power of being connected to one another. The power of being connected to one another. Now, I've chosen to talk about this. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand. And for those of you who are watching, you can go to our app. Get your app wherever you get your apps. And you can find a fill-in-the-blank outline on the app, or you can go to our website and download a copy of today's outline. I'm talking about this today because it really hit me that real strength in the body of Christ is not found when we stand alone. Real strength comes when we learn how to stand together. And when we are in relationship with one another, when we are connected to one another, when we are in covenant with one another, we can help strengthen each other so that we both fulfill our potential in God. Our foundational text today is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul uses the metaphor of the body to illustrate how every member is essential and interconnected. Paul basically says, just like a physical body has many parts, each with its unique function, so too does the body of Christ. And we are to, because we are part of this body, encourage one another. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let's read it together. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The vital part of the Christian walk is learning how to walk together, interact with each other beyond the superficial, and encourage one another to be the best that we can be. There are many of you who are here, many of you who are watching, who have discovered the beauty of life groups, in that you get to do life on life together to encourage each other to be the best that you can be. You find strength from another when you don't have the strength yourself. But we also have the opportunity, my brothers and sisters, to now expand that, to now go a little bit further. And for those of you who have been sitting on the sidelines with your pom-poms of isolationism, God says, no, put them down and join the team. That's why edification is so important. That's why speaking positive words into somebody are so important. That's why interacting with each other is so important. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good, here it is, for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Let me share with you some simple principles as we talk about the power of being connected to one another. Number one, you need to realize that as believers, we are all part of the same body. As believers, we are all part of the same body. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. When God looks at the body of Christ, he sees us in Christ. And when he sees you in Christ and sees me in Christ, he accepts and approves us. So basically, here's what Paul says. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit takes you and identifies you with Christ, baptizes you into the body, and counts and credits you as being part of the family of God. What I love about this passage is, Paul says it doesn't matter who you were, what matters now is how God sees you. So if you were a Jew or a Greek, if you were a slave or a free, if you were up or you were down, if you was in or you were out, it doesn't matter. God says, I see you as part of the family of God. Somebody may ask the question, why is that so important? It's important because watch this. There are those of you who are under the sound of my voice, somebody who's listening right now, you don't see yourself where God sees you because you are allowing your past to keep you from claiming what God has for you in your present. There's somebody who's watching right now, somebody who's listening. You are sitting on the sidelines because you have literally told yourself that you're not good enough, that you don't belong, that once you get stuff together, and God says, no, I've already gotten you together enough to use you for your good, your growth, and ultimately for God's glory. He says, you just got to make yourself available and recognize what I have done. He says, you are part of the body of Christ. Look at Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have peace with God. And my brothers and my sisters, don't allow the lack of peace with other people and the lack of peace in your own spirit to keep you from claiming your peace with God. He says, when you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you have peace with God. You are part of the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? You are the temple of God. And God says, walk in who I have created you to be. Here's the second thing. Number two, we're talking about the power of being connected to one another. You need to realize you are different from every member of the body of Christ, and you are valuable to the body of Christ. You are different from every member of the body of Christ, and you are valuable to the body of Christ. Verse 14 says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. He says, each of us is different. He says, but don't get it twisted. Don't uplift somebody else and downgrade yourself. Don't look at somebody else whose gift may be more public and look down upon your own gift, even though it may operate in a more private setting. He says, each of us is important and critical to the body. Everybody can't be everybody else. Because if you tried to be everybody else and you weren't who you are in the body, then who you are in the body would go missing from the body. He said, we can't have a whole body of eyes. What's that going to look like? You can see everything but can't go anywhere because you have no feet. You can't hear anything because you have no ears. You can't grab anything because you have no hands. All you can do is see. And one of the mistakes that we make many times is trying to find people who are just like us instead of finding people who complement us. See, if everybody in here was a pastor, there'd be nobody sitting in the pews, right? Everybody be arguing, trying to fight to get up here. You don't want that. Everybody doesn't have the gift to sing and exhort vocally. Now, you may have the gift of helps, but you can't help if you get up here with your body and your voice is not in alignment with what needs to be sung. Are you following what I'm saying? God has a place for each of us in the body, and you are important. You say, but God, Lord, Pastor, you don't know. See, I'm not like everybody. I know you're not like everybody else. That's what makes you special to the body. See, people in the Corinthian church, here's what they were struggling with. Some of them were walking around feeling like they were less gifted, like they were less able, like they were less capable, they were less worthy, they were insignificant, unimportant. They were inadequate, and some of them thought they were ungifted. And Paul says, there's nothing further from the truth. He says, even those of you who have a minimal amount of gifts that operate in private are still important to the body of Christ. Let me give you some things under number two. A, you are a necessary part of the body of Christ. Every member is necessary. You are necessary. Now, here's what's interesting. There are many of you who are not doing all that God has positioned you or gifted you or given you talents to do. And you might see yourself in your inactivity and say, see, I told you, Pastor, I'm really not needed. And there's nothing further from the truth. The truth of the matter is you are necessary. And what you're failing to realize is whatever the body is doing now, how much more they could do if you were using your gift and serving where God has called you to serve. Let me give you an example. Since 2022, when we began the reset and launching that new reset, that cultural shift in 2023, we have had over the last 2.25 years the greatest time that we have had in any period in the 30 years that I've been at Good Hope. When you look at every metric to measure the health of a church, spiritual growth, financial growth, numerical growth, growth in volunteerism, growth in community impact and influence, in being salt and light, our numbers are up in every one of those categories. We have seen over 1,000 people, almost 1,500 people now plus, begin their discipleship journey. It's been tremendous. 52% of our people last year who joined were conversion growth. Numbers that are unheard of in the body of Christ today in America. And we did that with some of you sitting on the sideline. Now, think about this. If we have taken in almost 650 people since January of 2023, and you've been sitting on the sideline, if, let's just say, for easy math, 50% of you all have been actively involved in making the main thing the only thing in your life. That means for those of you who have not been active, if we got you active, we could potentially double that number. If we did that without your commitment, imagine how much more we could do if you recognize you are a necessary part of the body. Look at B. You have an essential function in the body of Christ. You have an essential function in the body of Christ. Each member has an essential function. If you are an eye, if you are an ear, if you are a nose, all of you have an essential function. And the body of Christ, the church, can only operate if enough members function as they are gifted to. What happens when a part of your body is no longer functioning? You know what we call that? Being disabled. It's not that you can't live, it's not that you can't function, but you can't function at your peak capacity because you are disabled when a part of your body is not functioning as it was intended or as it was designed. My brothers and sisters, what a tragedy that we have so many churches that are disabled churches. Some of y'all need handicapped parking. Not because you can't walk, not because you're on a wheelchair, not because you're on a cane, not because you need a scooter, but because you are not using the gifts and the talents that God has deposited within you. Look at C. You are set in the body of Christ as God wills. God has not just set prominent members in the church body. God has not just put the public upfront people in the church body. He has placed all of us in the church body. Because here's what God wants you to understand. God wants to use you to make a difference in somebody's life. And there's somebody in here who needs to recognize and realize that when God uses you, God can use you to reach people that I will never have an opportunity to reach. God wants to use you to help your concentric circle of contact come to know and grow in the Lord. Look at D. You are distinct from other believers, but together we are one body. You are distinct, but together we are one body. Every gift is essential to complete the puzzle of the body of believers. And God wants you to walk in that. See, the church is not one significant and important person. The church is many members, all of whom are significant and important. Even if you're not seen, it doesn't mean your gift is not felt. So even the lowest and the least gifted member who is using his or her gift is as important, if not more important, than the person who is sitting there with a greater gift and not doing anything with it. That's why you should never look down on another believer. And that's why you should never look down on yourself. Because even when somebody else looks down on you, the truth of the matter is God has not. God has not. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Here's the third thing. Number three, you need to realize you are connected with others and you are to empower each other. You are connected with others and you are to empower each other. Everybody say empower. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24 says, Which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. There should be no jealousy. There should be no pride. There should be no divisiveness within the church. For God has gifted every believer to complement the others. There's a sense where we have to encourage and support each other. And we can only do that when we are connected with each other. This mutual support is crucial to building a compassionate, loving community. And it only happens when we allow the power of God to move through us and be shared between us. So I had a problem at my house. There was a corner of my house about halfway through the living room, all the way around to the front door and into the closet, and we had lost power. The only reason we had found out we lost power is because one of those plugs is where the alarm system is plugged in, and the battery had run down, and so we get this notification, and we find out that this plug is not working. Then we find out there's several plugs, including the TV. It's not working. The plug is dead. And so, being the handyman that I am, why y'all laughing? Y'all don't even understand. Anyway, I go to the breaker boxes. I check all of the breakers, make sure the breakers are working. I flip them on, flip them off. Everything's working good. I go to the breaker box that doesn't even cover the area to make sure that everything is all right. All the breakers are on. I can't figure out what the problem is. Some of the plugs in the living room are hot. They're working. And some of them are not. What's the problem? Well, I called Travis. He brought Dennis over. They decided to flip the same breakers I flipped. Nothing happened. We go around, all three of us are scratching our heads. What is the problem, man? Why are you not getting any power? So Travis says, you know what? Let's call a professional. We're going to call an electrician. Tremaine comes in. Great young brother. Tremaine comes in. He looks, he says, Pastor, what's the problem? I said, we have no power from this socket over here to this socket. And he said, He said, okay. I said, we checked all the breakers. He said, okay. Well, let me check the breakers again just in case there's a bad breaker and I need to change it out. So he goes and he checks all of the breakers. He comes back and he looks. And I said, now, this plug all the way over and around to the left, none of these plugs are working. They're dead. And he looks, and within 30 seconds, he says, I think the problem is this plug right here. Let me check it. And I said, but that plug is working. It has power. I've got stuff plugged in there. He said, yeah, but I think that's the problem. So he unplugs everything, goes into the plug, and he says, yep, here's your problem. And I said, what's the problem? He said, well, the wire on that plug that would be used to carry power to the other plugs was disconnected. Now, what I realized was the grandkids were over a couple of days before, and they were playing over there by that plug. And they were throwing the ball and bouncing and jumping and laughing. Nothing changed about that plug. That plug still worked. But it no longer was connected to be a conduit for power to the other plugs. Y'all not praying with me in here. The power went into the plug, but it didn't go out. And I'm trying to help somebody in here to understand, because you think I'm talking about a plug, and I'm really talking about you. The power of God that has come in you, God says now you've got to be connected so that the power that comes in you can flow through you to somebody else. And if you have powerless people in your life and you refuse to connect with them so that they can share the power of God that God has given to you, then shame on you. Because you are not seeing yourself as God has created you. Let me share the last thing with you, and then I'm going to let you go. Number four, you need to realize living in connection with one another allows you and me to be a living demonstration of God's kingdom on earth. When we live in connection with one another, we become a living demonstration of God's kingdom on earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You are the body of Christ. Collectively, you have the privilege and responsibility to be the body of Christ. And he says, individually, you are members of it. So you are part of the body of Christ. And as an individual, you have your own place in the body. And it's in the body that you find strength and you give strength to others. See, everybody doesn't have the same role. Everybody doesn't have the same gifts. Everybody doesn't have the same talents. But together, we can complement each other to do the work that God has called us to do. Look at Matthew 25, verse 15. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. See, it doesn't matter how many gifts or talents you have. God wants you to use what he's given you to his glory and his honor. Our strengths can uplift those around us, and their strengths can help lift us up. There are some of you right now, if I gave you a microphone, you could testify to the power of being in these groups. Because it's been in these groups that you have given strength and you have received strength. Because it's in the context of intentional relationships that we become who God wants us to be. So this past week, I began studying, of all things, California redwood trees. Been looking at the family of redwoods that are present, not just in California, in Oregon, in China. There have been some who have been transplanted to England, right? And these redwood trees are fascinating. These redwood trees grow to a height. One is at 380 feet tall. 380 feet tall. It is 29 feet in diameter at its fattest point. And they grow straight up. If you've ever been to Northern California and gone through the Redwood Highway, man, it is a beautiful sight to see. Now, here's what's interesting to me. This blew me away, y'all. Even though they can grow in excess of 300 feet, and some of them are thousands of years old. The roots only go 6 to 12 feet deep. Now, you would think a tree that goes up 300 feet plus would have to have roots that go down at least as deep as the tree is high. 300 feet tall, the roots are 6 to 12 feet deep. Now, somebody said, well, wait a minute. How can a tree so tall have roots so shallow? How are the redwoods able to grow tall without toppling over? How are they able to survive hurricane force winds and floods and great windstorms? How are they able to sustain themselves and stand for thousands of years? The redwoods have shallow roots in terms of their depth, but they spread out over 100 feet wide. And not only do they spread out over 100 feet wide, they intertwine with each other. So over 100 feet, trees that are next to each other are intertwining with each other. So one can't go down because it's being kept up by the others that it is intertwined with at the root level. Oh, wait a minute. It gets even better than that, y'all. Here's what I found out. Redwoods also have another survival skill, that whenever a tree is knocked off kilter or the earth is shifting or another tree begins to fall, listen carefully, the redwood reportedly has the ability to grow quicker at the place of deficiency. So that while it is leaning, it can grow faster on that side that it is leaning on to hold itself up. All because their roots are intertwined with each other. When we as believers intertwine ourselves with one another in an intentional relationship designed to help us become all God wants us to be, we can hold one another up. We can share our energy. We can build our resiliency, and we can help each other grow to fulfill our potential. I need some folk who have been in some groups who have already experienced this to make some noise. I mean, where people have come in with problems, and watch this. It wasn't your time to be weak. It was your time to be strong. And you were able to encourage them and help them along the way. And then there were times when you came in and you might not have even articulated your weakness to your group, to those who are close to you. But somebody in that group said something, prayed something, shared something that strengthened you, that carried you just a little bit further. As we come to the close of this message, here's what I want you to know. We were never meant to journey alone. There is a divine power in connection. And like those redwood trees, there is strength when we stand connected to one another. There is strength when we as believers stand together, when we allow the power of God to move through us, when we pray for one another, when we serve one another, when we encourage one another, when we build up one another, when we love one another with the love of Christ. We are truly connected, spirit to spirit, heart to heart. We reflect the unity of the body of Christ. When we're connected, we become living testimonies of God's grace, mercy, and love. So today, I want to challenge you to make a commitment. Not just to attend the same church, not just to know each other's names, but to truly connect with one another. No comparison, no competition, no conflict, but connection, cooperation, compassion with one another. Let's be intentional about building one another up, about standing in the gap for one another, about walking this journey of faith side by side. You see, from the Garden of Eden to the cross at Calvary, the heartbeat of heaven has always been connection. God with us and us with each other. There is a holy fire that burns brighter when we gather together. There is a healing that flows deeper when we open our hearts and bear one another's burdens. There is a joy that sings louder when we laugh together, cry together, pray together, and worship together. But how can we help each other if we're walking in isolation? How can we love one another if we've been so busy building walls that we haven't been building bridges? Jesus said, Father, make them one as you and I are one. Not just connected by proximity, but connected by purpose. Not just near each other in pews, but knit together in love. That the world may see what real community looks like. So today I challenge you, as we launch our spring sessions, even if you're not in a group, I don't want you to just leave with a good word. I want you to leave today with a godly commitment. A commitment to check on your brother. A commitment to uplift your sister. A commitment to break bread with someone you barely know. A commitment to build connections that go deeper than Sunday morning smiles. Because we are truly connected when we reflect heaven on earth. Have I got a witness here? See, the enemy knows he can defeat us easily when we're by ourselves. But when two come together, two can chase 1,000, and three can chase 10,000. So let us rise, not as scattered saints, but as one body, one family, one people, connected in Christ, empowered by love. Let our church be a place where the lonely can find family, where the hurting can find healing, where the weary can find strength, and where the power of God can manifest itself. Because when we are connected, we are strong. When we are connected, we are unstoppable. When we are connected, the world will see the power of Christ at work in us. The gates of hell will be shaken. Lives will be changed when the people of God come together. And so go and be the connection someone has been praying for. Go and be the lifeline to somebody who's drowning. Go and be the shade for somebody who's being scorched in the suns of persecution and tough times. Go and be who God has called you to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder today of the power and beauty of being connected. Being connected first to you and then to one another. You created us for relationship, for fellowship, for unity that reflects your heart. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we've pulled away. Forgive us for the times that we've built walls instead of bridges. Forgive us for the times that we made a decision to walk alone when you called us to walk together. Help us to know that when we choose to walk alone, we not only injure ourselves, we also injure the body. Today, we recommit ourselves, not just to being near each other, but today we commit ourselves to being with one another. Teach us how to love deeply, to serve selflessly, and to stand faithfully beside our brothers and sisters. Knit our hearts together. Knit our hearts together, Lord. Knit our hearts together in the bond of peace, and help us to be intentional and building relationships that glorify you. Holy Spirit, empower us to be the bridge, the encourager, the listener, the friend, and may the world see Jesus, not just in our words, but in how we walk with one another. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.